Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. It's Rodney joined by, of course, Will.
How's it going?
And Mark.
What's going on, guys?
And joining us over the phone is the lovely guy at the OKS show around named Cole. Hello, Cole.
Hello, you can hear me?
Yes. So yeah, today we got a couple things lined up for you guys. We're going to talk about A Way Out. Will, Mark, and I had a chance to play it, and Cole has seen videos, so that's about the same thing, because it's a cinematic game or whatever. But yeah, we're going to talk about some Nintendo Labo stuff and all that little fun stuff. It's coming up right now on VGN. Right now. All right, so yeah, let's talk about let's kind of segue from the last podcast we did, Mark, with Brooks, which was on bad video game movies. We just saw that there is an announcement that they're making another one.
We might have a new contender to the mix.
Yeah, so it's on based off The Division, and it's being directed by David. What? How do you say it, Will?
David Leitch.
Leitch.
I think it is Leitch.
Leitch.
Yeah, I butcher names all the time. It's starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Jessica Chastain.
Chastain.
Again, butchered all the names. But yeah. So, what's your initial thoughts on this, Will?
Well, like you said, we are getting another video game movie that no one really asked for. But at least in this case, we've got a pretty good action director, and the story is at least something that can be turned into a movie normally, with just futuristic New York City plagued by a virus that has wiped out most of mankind. Not zombies, but more of like just a terminal illness style virus. And the main characters are kind of just finding a way to survive and gather help.
Yeah. Did you ever play The Division? Because I had a lot of friends that play it, and I played maybe like 15-20 minutes of the game. Looked super cool, and I really enjoyed how it was like you played with other people, and you like it was almost like a third person shooter MMO kind of thing.
Yeah, I played it maybe about 3 or 4 weeks. I kind of got bored of it, mainly because of how repetitive it was. It didn't have a lot of content coming out of this out of release. Now I know Ubisoft has like bumped it up with a whole bunch of extra content, some expansion packs, and they're keeping the game alive.
They're still releasing DLC for it too. Like, there's still stuff coming out for the game, like even recently.
Yeah, I think there's two expansions planned later this year, I think. I'm not sure, don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure they do have some more expansions heading your way.
It plays a lot like Will and Mark, you guys play Skyrim, or not Skyrim, it's Elder Scrolls Online.
Yes, we do.
It's kind of like, it plays like that, but in a Tom Clancy kind of universe.
Yeah, I guess it would play, I've only played a little bit of it. I'm planning on picking it up maybe when I have a bit more time, but it plays very similar, I find, to Ghost Recon Wildlands.
See, I'm playing through Ghost Recon Wildlands right now, and it is a little bit different because it's more like grindy. You have to go and do dungeon crawls, and there's like bosses at the end, and where Wildlands is more like, I don't know, in the Division, there's enemies that are just bullet sponges. Like, there's enemies that you put like 10, 15 clips into, like boss monsters or in any other game, but in Wildlands, everybody's kind of one shot, and it's more stealth and sneaky, where this one's like, I can't think of the word. I'm going to look this up, what kind of game it plays like.
I kind of find it funny that they picked the one game that no one really cares about. If you're going to make a Tom Clancy game into a movie, why not Splinter Cell?
Well, that has been a hot topic for years, and there was plans to do it. Maybe 20, I don't remember. It was when Tom Hardy kind of started getting big. He was attached to star Sam Fisher for a Splinter Cell movie, and then they decided to go ahead with the Assassin's Creed movie because that was the big thing, you know, Assassin's Creed. We all know how that turned out. So,
well, it did really good in Asia, like in Japan and China and stuff. It did really good, and that's why we're getting the second one.
That's because anything that Japan makes is hot garbage too, so it just fits right in.
Hey, Japan makes some pretty good movies.
Well, name one good Japanese live action movie, but just name one.
Like based on a video game or just in general?
Just in general.
The Battle Royale.
Okay, yes. Yeah, that is one good one. Yeah, that's the only good one.
I gotta make sure that's actually Japanese. It might be Korean. Let me check here.
It's Japanese. They've done the first and the second. I have the collector's edition at home. One of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a fantastic movie.
But any Japanese movie that's been made from a video game or for an anime is, I'm sure we can all agree, hot garbage.
Final Fantasy VII.
Okay, shut up, Mark. You're just making me look bad here.
Final Fantasy VII was a... I haven't seen that.
They did two movies. They did... I can't remember the first one, but the second one, Advent Children, was spot on. They took the story from Final Fantasy VII, the game, and they made a movie with it, live action. It was amazing.
Okay, well, you guys last week talked about bad video game movies.
Yes, we did.
Did you guys talk about Tomb Raider?
We kind of briefly talked about Tomb Raider, but in my defense, Final Fantasy was animated. It wasn't live action, so...
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's motion mocap.
Yeah, it's not a live action. Yeah. I'm just thinking, Will, did you see Attack on Titan the live action?
Yeah, that's exactly. I kind of wanted to go a little off topic here and go into anime movies, not more of what we do, but man, Attack on Titan was, if your word's hot trash, I think this is like epic hot garbage. This is like epic garbage. Like, holy crap. Like, you really want your time back after watching this. It's more of like an Attack on Titan porn. Like, there is like... I don't even want to go there.
Yeah, turn your mic down for a good reason. stop talking about that movie. It's just so bad. Anyways, back on topic now. Go ahead.
I want to mention another... one's really bad. I saw the trailer for the other one that I want to mention as well, but... Oh man, I don't even really. Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah,
live action.
Yeah, I got about 10 minutes in, and then I was like, "Yeah, I kind of don't want to watch this anymore," so I stopped watching. Mind you, I was tired, but I was maybe just using that as an excuse to not watch the movie anymore.
I think I beat you maybe by like an extra 10 minutes, and then I turned it off. It was really bad. But going from that, I saw the trailer was released for the Bleach live action. And surprisingly, that actually does look really good.
Yeah, where the trailers for the other two didn't look good in the first place.
No, I remember seeing the suit of armor and whatnot for L, and I was like, yeah, this is already going in a very bad direction.
But the visual effects in Japan standards were not that bad, honestly. But yeah, it was still just kind of a bad movie. They should just stop. Yeah. Stop making video game movies and stop making anime live action movies. It just doesn't work.
Well, I mean, what I was going to say about the Tomb Raider movie is it was actually really good.
One or two.
the No, the new one, the one with Alicia Vikander.
I haven't seen that one yet. I've heard good reviews. I can't really go there. But if you're talking like Angelina Jolie style Tomb Raider, that can just be stricken from the record.
No. I'm talking about the new one that just came out. Oh, the Alicia Vikander one.
Yeah.
Like the brand new one. I think it's still in theaters.
Yeah, I do want to go see it. It's following more of like the newer game styles.
Yeah, it's really good. It like the beginning, the first like 5-10 minutes, there's like this bike race and it's not really interesting, but she gets arrested right after the bike race, and from the point that she gets arrested till the end of the movie, it is really, really good. Like the puzzle solving that they do in the movie is like right out of the game, and the main villain, Walton Goggins, is fantastic. He's one of the best villains I've seen in a movie in a long time. Like really, really cool stuff. So and the twist, like the twist in the temple, is really good. So if you get a chance, check it out. Like it's a good movie.
Oh, definitely have to check that out. What game does it follow? Like, what does it follow?
The first it follows the first of the remakes. I don't know which one that was called. Maybe it was 2013 is when it came out.
Tomb Raider.
Yeah, just Tomb Raider. Yeah.
Because the second one is called Rise of Tomb Raider, which I just downloaded now for Game Pass because I haven't even played that one. I'm looking forward to getting into that. And then I think Crystal Dynamics announced that there's a third one coming this year.
A third Tomb Raider game?
Yeah.
I think. I don't know how many there are. Tomb Raider 2018. But yeah, no, seriously. Nobody is seeing the new Tomb Raider movie. Like, it didn't do very well, but it's actually it's really good if you get a chance to check it out.
I think you sold me with the main villain because I'm a really big fan of Walter Goggins because I really loved Justified.
He's great because he's just this guy. He's been sent on this mission to find this tomb by his organization, and they've been looking for the tomb for like 7 years. And he's like, I just want to go see my daughters. He's like, I haven't seen my daughters in like 7 years, and I will do anything to find them. So he's not actually a bad guy, but he is because he's gone crazy searching on this island. So he's super relatable, and he's not like evil. You can actually like relate with him, but at the same time he's like killing all these people just so he can see his kid. So it's really refreshing villain to see.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it. I guess I'm gonna have to talk Mark into a movie soon.
Yeah, but when you go see it the first, like the opening fight scene and stuff, you're like, oh man, I hope the rest of the movie's not like this. And it's not. It gets way, way better from the beginning.
Sweet.
All right, guys, let's start talking about A Way Out. Will and I played it yesterday for a couple of hours. We streamed it, so I'm gonna have to edit that quickly and put it on our channel. But it was quite interesting. I did like, because you only had to buy the copy of the game, Will, and then you sent me an invite, and I just downloaded the free trial, and then I got to play the full game with you, and I didn't have to purchase the game. So I like that about that.
Yeah, I did the same thing with Mark. Yeah. And the price of the game is actually very reasonable, just being $39.99, $40, you know. And so far, I'm really enjoying it. I restarted the game with Mark today, so now I got like two different save points that I have to play with both Rodney and Pex.
Yeah, the game was really good, and it's not a long game. It's about 10 hours. But from the very beginning, I like the whole concept, that prison break concept where you're trying to break out of a jail. Some of it is a little corny, and there's like a few like parts in the game that make you kind of scratch your head and you're like, ah. But for what it is, I've never seen a game like this where it takes couch co-ops, like splits the screen. You're both working together to try and break out of this prison. It was actually really fun.
I have the same thought, but before we go into the silly aspects, let's debate right now. When do you think this game is taking place?
I mean, we briefly talked about it yesterday, about it taking place in the 70s. Judging by the decor of the freaking warden's office, I was probably right, but yeah, I think it's the 70s.
Well, it's got to be somewhere in the 70s or somewhere back then when breaking out of prison was a lot easier. I mean, spoiler alert, the guy pulls the toilet a bit from the back of, like, from away from the wall and then just, like, unscrews something, knocks a little bit of freaking concrete off the wall, and bam, kicks his way into, like, the inner sanctum of the prison.
Have you never watched Prison Break? That's the exact same way they got out.
Again, when was Prison Break set? Not in the 70s, though, probably, right?
Now.
Oh, yeah, it was like 2005 is when it came out. So set in 2005.
Oh, okay.
But, oh, man, that prison is the biggest joke. The worst prison ever. What's that?
The Prison Break prison or the one in A Way Out?
No, the one in A Way Out is just the biggest joke. Like, all the guards should be instantly fired because they, like, just wank off in the corner. They, like, literally look in one direction and stand there and, like, have a cigarette. And then you're like, I could literally kill all these inmates and, like, he wouldn't even know. Like, he's just the worst guards ever. And then on top of that, none of the windows have bars on them. It's just like, he's like, oh, I'm just going to stick my little chisel up this window and I'll come get it later. And then I'm like, oh, it was ridiculous. I couldn't believe how freaking stupid that was.
That was one of the moments I wanted to bring up, too. That was just ridiculous. He's walking back to his cell. Oh, wait, I'm just going to stash this right outside here. There's no bars or no nothing.
Yeah.
When you guys first told me about this game, like, we were talking about it before it came out, I thought it was going to be like a bunch of people playing. Like, you'd have like... it would kind of be like PUBG, where you'd have like 100 people in a prison and you all have like a partner and you're all trying to get out and only like two people can make it out, kind of thing. That's how I originally thought the game was going to play. So now that I'm watching a little bit more, seeing the cinematic trailer looks interesting, but a lot different than what I was thinking in my head.
Well, this game is more like, I was talking about it with Rodney off the air. It's like interactive television, pretty much. You're not...
That's cool.
Yeah, it's 100% story. Have you ever played those
Telltale?
Telltale, yeah. It's pretty much like that.
Cool.
Yeah, that kind of bothers me in a way though. I've never really played a cinematic game before and I just didn't like how it was pressing buttons in a sequence. But at the same time you're playing with somebody else, so you got to kind of work together to keep your objectives straight, but
it's like,
yeah.
Mario Party, but
it's like Mario Party, but you actually keep your friends.
Yeah,
but even in this game, and it's in, you like, okay, so in this game you do have someone that you know you're playing with, and I think there's more to do in this game than there has been in, like, I played The Walking Dead Telltale and I played Batman Telltale, and those are strictly you're watching a TV show and you're pressing X when you have to and pressing A when you have to. It's you're more watching it for the story and for that whole aspect of the game.
Yeah. Are the stories good? Are they interesting?
Oh, yeah. The Walking Dead, they had their own Telltale spinoff. It was incredible. I liked it. It was really fun. Batman was a little slow, but again, it makes you... The stories are so epic and so good that they make you kind of like fall in love with the characters and you want to see what happens next. So you keep, you know, it's... And they keep getting you to buy the next chapter and see how it turns out.
Yeah.
Making money now.
Pretty much. Going back, though, to Batman, it did start slow. But even you have to admit in a little bit here once I'm done is that game ended, like, perfectly. Like, there was just great moments. Like, you could even sleep with Catwoman. Like, come on.
Will doesn't need anything else.
Every man's fantasy. Don't you remember watching, like, the 50s cartoon? Or not the cartoon, it was the live action with the Catwoman in, like, the purple latex?
I think
the Halle Berry one?
No, I'm talking, like, the old, like, pow, bang, boom.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the one when they're on the boat, and yeah.
Yeah.
That's some good stuff.
I think you're getting too graphical for this podcast.
I was a twinkle in my daddy's eye when that was a series. So.
Will needs a hard 5 minutes. Take
nice.
A break.
But yeah, like, Telltale games are very immersive, story-driven. You can't control the characters, so you're not walking around. It's basically just a cinematic you're following and watching. And then you
choose
to,
your own storybook.
Pretty much, but you have to pay very close attention because you only have a couple seconds to press these buttons. And it'll be like, oh, shake this guy's hand, don't shake it. And how you do it will, like, kind of change how the game will play out.
How is the reloading? Like, so say if you want to change your decision, can you just, like, go back and reload a save and change it? Or
no,
are you kinda like,
it's literally, nope. Like, as soon as you go, there's, like, checkpoints, so you can't really go back too much. You kind of want to maybe start, like, a new story.
No, that's cool. I prefer that. I'd prefer not getting the chance to just go back and change all your decisions.
you can restart the chapter. That's how it is. You can get halfway through the chapter, you make a mistake, you live with nine times out of ten you're living with it, but you can actually go back and restart that whole chapter.
Okay, crazy.
But going back to A Way Out, we got to talk about another thing. Is that at the very beginning of the game, there's a prison fight that breaks out, and one guy's being attacked, and your other guy. I don't know. I don't think most inmates would get involved in a fight that they don't even know the guy that's being attacked. But you get involved in this fight and trying to protect your partner that you don't even know yet. And the inmates start throwing... Well, there's some really crappy punches. There's some Superman punches from MMA, which I got to laugh out.
No, I disagree. Those punches were, like, high class. Like, all the inmates took karate classes, apparently. Yeah. They were, like, doing roundhouse kicks and all this other kind of stuff. And then... But if you, I mean, I watch a lot of TV, so I know what goes on in prisons, I swear. Yeah, like, prison fights are just a joke. Like, they're like they talk like they're all tough, you know. Oh, I'm going to kick your ass. And then they, like, throw, like, the most ridiculous-looking punches ever. Like, I can't even illustrate it with my voice, but, you know.
Yeah, that was the hardest. That was the hardest thing to wrap my head around was when you first enter the prison, Will's getting attacked, and my guy's just like, oh, I'm going to help you right away. We're going to be best friends. Yeah. I'm just like, that would not happen. But like those things you got to just take with a grain of salt.
I've met some of my best friends in prison, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Backstory there, Cole.
I'm in and out of the joint quite a bit, which is why I help out on a video game podcast.
No wonder you don't get as much work anymore.
Ow. All my time in the joints.
Yeah, I am liking this game, but it's not what I was expecting. Mind you, I probably built the game up in my head before I played it, but once you get outside the prison, you're obviously working together to stay out and work together to I don't know, continue to go after the guy that basically affected your lives. So the guy's name's Harvey, right?
Yeah. Don't spoil too much. Mark hasn't even escaped the prison yet. We just scaled the wall, like, with the back-to-back thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. But yeah, basically both characters have a history with this guy named Harvey, so they're kind of getting together to take him down.
Yeah. At least for Rodney and I, though, it started to pick up. I'm now driving a truck that I actually have full control of, and you're you're shooting out a pump shotgun, are you not?
Yeah, shooting at some cops.
Does the character that you pick, like, so can both characters do either thing? Or, like, so say if you pick the one character, you would have to, say, drive the truck, and then if the other person picked the other character, they would, say, shoot the gun? You couldn't switch, or do you make that decision, or...
I don't think so. Like, I think you can switch, because literally I ended up driving the truck mainly because I was the one that jump-started the truck where he was putting the gas in, so he jumped in the back while I got into the driver's seat. So I think if it was the other way around, he may be driving.
That's interesting. We'll have to see it when we get there, but I think everything's predetermined. I think depending on the character you pick, because there was one part in the game where you were like, okay, climb the pipe, and then I came over to climb it, but then I knelt down. So I think initially that guy is all, like, I think, yeah.
There is predetermined aspects, but when we do get to the truck part, let's try that and see if the game is set in stone, or if we can change the way it plays out.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. If you could change the way it plays out, I think that would be better, because, you know, like, when you're playing, somebody might have the preference to drive, and somebody might have the preference to shoot. If you're kind of stuck with the one you're not good at, or the one you don't want to do, it would be better if you could pick.
I don't want to spoil too many things, but the driving mechanics need a bit of work. They are very sloppy, and there's another scene, Mark did it this time because I did it last time, is you're pushing around
laundry cart.
The laundry cart, and that thing does not want to turn back up. It just goes at any angle it wants to. And then
it's
another stupid thing is the other guy hides in the laundry cart, and apparently 3 sheets is enough to cover him.
Well, I'm sure the driving mechanics are still better than Far Cry 5, am I right? So.
And then let's talk about that kitchen scene. I don't know about you guys, but usually prison inmates don't have access to, like, butcher knives and whatnot. So you just, like, get in a fight. You fall over the kitchen wall, And next thing you know, the bad guys are throwing it. Like, they just pull out two big knives and like, oh yeah, I'm going to cut you. I'm going to cut you good.
Have you ever seen the movie Blood In, Blood Out?
Yeah, I have.
You have? The inmates all run the kitchen area. They're all like chopping up the food and cooking it all themselves. So, I think that's how they used to do it in old-timey prisons.
Yeah, but you think at least, I remember watching like, what was it, Escape from Alcatraz with Clint Eastwood, or was that
yeah, that was Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, is remember when they're in showing the kitchen scene, there's still bars though when people were grabbing the food. So when they were taking the food from the kitchen inmates, I guess they could only grab the trays, they couldn't actually interact or anything. There's still a block there, right? Where here it was like literally just you could just jump over the the little wall, grab your, like, where you grab your tray, and that's it. You're in the kitchen. Now you have access to knives, mallets, pots and pans, and you can have a kitchen heyday.
No, I think that is how they do it. So, like, there's obviously a guard or two in the kitchen while they're all preparing the meals, because there's literally knives there. Like, inmates become, like, really good architects, because they're like, oh, I'm going to make a shiv out of my toothbrush. I'm going to use my lighter and melt it into a... yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that they do use knives and stuff inside the kitchen, but it's heavily regulated with the guards. And then when they leave the kitchen, obviously they get patted down to make sure they didn't
steal anything.
Another scene though is like that it kind of caught me off guard. Man, was it pretty badass. But the guy that was kicking your ass like the whole time, he had the knife. Man, he just stabbed the crap out of that guard. Like, dang.
Oh, is it quite graphic?
Well, I mean, you saw the knife go in and out and in and out and in and out.
Well, as graphic as it can be, as those crappy Xbox One graphics will let you have them. Like, just a quick thing is that game did not look, it didn't look very good.
Well, you know what it did? I thought the same thing, but it will sit on the Xbox One X. It looks really good.
Yeah, I think, well, it's because his is enhanced and it's four times more powerful than the PS4. I'd be interested in see what it would look like on the PS4, but is it just, like, are games like this just made, like, because obviously PS4 is a little more powerful than Xbox. Do they dumb it down for Xbox and then release it on PS4 and then release it on PC even more powerful than it is on PS4? How does that work?
So basically, for ports of games, it's a complete different build. Mainly because the GPU is different, the CPU is different. So, say if you were working at a game studio, half the crew would maybe be working on, say, a Switch version, lower graphics, stuff like that. Another team would be working on the Xbox or PC, right? And then another team would be working on the PS4. Or what they do is they'd make the base game and then they'd hand it off to another studio, which would then take it and then change things around to make it accessible to that console.
Okay, so the coding and stuff would be the same, wouldn't it?
Coding is the same, but the controls are always different. So you have the different layouts, right? You have the different graphical power. So sometimes the things have to be scaled back. If you understand, like, say, trees, shadows, stuff like that, it all has to be redesigned.
Well, that's exactly what, like, Far Cry 5 on PS4 and I'm sure on Xbox One, One X looks amazing. You can see every blade of grass. But then I could notice watching Far Cry 5 on your Xbox One, Rodney, and it just doesn't have that same, like, the crispness in the background and in the water and in everything you see in the Far Cry world.
Mind you, I'm playing on the regular Xbox, right? I don't have a One X yet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, exactly, yeah. I'm still playing on the regular PS4.
That's also why you get games that get released, like Hellblade just got released for Xbox, but it's been out for PlayStation for like 8 months. Or even like PUBG coming to Xbox and then taking a long time for PlayStation because there's so many tweaks and stuff they have to do.
Those are also called timed exclusives. So at least for PUBG, Microsoft actually made a deal with Blue Note or Blue Wave. Blue something. Is the development studio. And yeah.
That's some first class reporting there, Will.
Hey, whatever. You know how many
game
studios?
Blue something.
Yeah, it's Blue Note Studios or Blue Wave something. But Microsoft approached them for exclusive timed rights to PUBG. So basically, it was the same thing with like other games we've talked about it before, is I really don't like exclusive content, at least for consoles. So if you're going to buy, say, let's go back, like Assassin's Creed or Destiny on PS4, you'd get more content, where on Xbox, they didn't give you anything else. It was, but that DLC would be available to the other console maybe 6 months later. That's basically how PUBG is working out, as there is a PS4 version coming out, but it's a timed exclusive, which could be anywhere from 6 months to a year to even longer.
This is kind of a nice segue into what we were talking about earlier, Mark, which was how PlayStation is basically making, like, turning into like a phone or something. Go ahead.
I was just you know, bored cruising the web, and I saw this article that were saying that with the release of like the PS Pro and the Xbox One X, that down the line they're following the Apple iPhone train, where they're gonna make a new console almost annually, and it's just gonna have a little bit spec'd a little better. Oh, this, like, new bells and whistles every year, just like the phone, just like how our phones are going, and that just infuriates me, because it's just, not to mention, like, these consoles are expensive enough. You're spending $700-$800, and that's probably pretty cheap. And then to have it a year later, have to spend another whatever $600-$700 just because you don't have the latest thing, that's frustrating.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, because it's been like that for every console pretty much lately. Is you have your Xbox, then you have your Xbox One S. Now we have the Xbox One X. Then we have the PS4. We have the PS4 Pro.
But see, that doesn't really bother me. That's fine. There's very few difference between the, like, the, okay, so if you have a 4K TV, you have a PS4 Pro. If you have a 4K TV, you have your One X. Just to say, like, so if you get a PS5 and then 2 years later, PS5 1.3 is out, you're telling me that's going to be a little slower than your PS5, and it's going to be a little less better, and not as, you know, not as freaking...
Well, if they follow the Apple train, like they said, they'll just release an update and slow your console down, so you have to freaking buy a new one.
Yeah, yeah, I really hope it's not going this way, but we'll have to wait and see. What are your thoughts on that, Cole?
I don't know, I'd say I'm not a huge fan of it at all, but the... it's the people who are in charge, right? It's like, if you want to get a phone, these are the guys who sell them, so you got to play by their rules. And, you know, there's not a lot you can do. And then eventually, like, people are used to the phone trend, you know? You know, it's like, when it first starts, people are upset and grumpy about it, and then everybody gets used to it. So it's tough that there's a few people who stay grumpy, but everybody else just kind of like, yeah, this is the way it is now. So if that's the way it goes...
Yeah,
it's the way it goes.
It really just infuriates me, because I know that's just the way it goes, and I gripe about it now.
No,
but
I hate it too.
Come the time, I'm going to be the guy that's buying the PS5 1.3 because it's faster and it's better than the PS5.
Or you could be a true non-supporter and don't buy the new console and just wait 3 years. And then they're like, oh, we're not selling a lot of 0.2s and 0.3s. So it's just the 0.1s are making a lot of money, but...
See, that's, I haven't bought the X yet. Like, I'm still playing on Xbox One, not the Xbox One X. And yeah, that's why I still use my PC quite a bit, because they'll just keep releasing games on Steam and on GOG and stuff, so you don't have to upgrade and get all this better stuff. You're already kind of there.
PC is the master race. It's just, that's frustrating too, is when you get a new graphics card, or you get the tits computer, and then 6 months later you can't run your game at the highest graphical settings. That's kind of annoying. But being that said, you're not having to buy a new console every 6 years or 4 years or whatever they're gonna make it.
Yeah, like for me, you just get a laptop, you know, like I got my laptop, it was like laptops are obviously more expensive than like a console. You know, a console would be like $500-$600, but your laptop is like $1,500, but at the same time, you can also do a lot of things on your PC along with gaming, so you just spend a little bit more on a PC and you're good for quite a bit of time,
you know. This is almost a podcast gaming, yeah, this is almost a podcast within itself, consoles versus PCs. But you know what, I've been a console guy for so long, and I've been getting, it's mainly on Sea of Thieves, but you're just getting wrecked by PC players because they just have a huge edge. Like, we were talking about this earlier, Mark, they don't have any delay in their controls, and they don't have, like, it's just way more fluid to do a mouse than a control stick.
Dude, Fortnite is a huge thing because that's cross-platform as well. I'm playing with my buddy who's on PC who can literally build circles around me. Like, we're getting into war with someone, and blah, 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 there's a fort made. And you can't build that fast. You can't. He's pressing one button, and he's moving his mouse around, and it's building wherever. Like, you can't get faster than that. And all, like, the big streamers, Ninja, Myth, Dr. Lupo, They're all PC players.
Hey, don't forget Dr. Disrespect.
Yeah, Dr. Disrespect.
But he plays PUBG. I don't think he plays Fortnite.
Which one? Ninja?
No, Dr. Disrespect.
He plays both. He's branched out to Fortnite, but he is a big PUBG player.
Yeah.
Alrighty. I think we should start talking about another interesting topic. Nintendo Labo. Will is dead. Will killed himself just now in the chair. Anyways, yeah, it just got released the other day, and it's basically cardboard for your kids and the parent. It looks like a lot of fun, but it has a AAA price tag. What are your thoughts on that, Mark?
I just got to look at it here a few hours ago. What's the price tag? And there's I'm seeing a lot of different ones. I'm seeing like a piano, which looks pretty cool, but I do see it breaking pretty easy. Well, what's the price tag on it?
Okay, so man, I should have just stayed dead. The price tag ranges from 90 to 140. There's different sets you can buy, more customization, different things you can build. Like you said, there's the piano, there's a house, there's the fishing rod.
The robot?
The robot. Yeah.
Oh, next thing you know, there's going to be like sets of these things that you have to buy the pieces of cardboard, and then you're going to be able to build this massive cardboard thing, put your game in there, and oh my God.
Well, then that's
this is the way of the future, guys. I think everybody should go this route. I just Googled this for the first time right now. I've never heard anything about it. I just looked it up, and I can't believe it.
Man, this isn't the way of the future. This is the way of the past. Like, in the 1960s, like, kids built their forts and stuff out of cardboard boxes, and, like, all their, like, helmets and stuff out of cardboard boxes. So
they're going for a nostalgia feel right now, Rodney.
It's Nintendo's strong suit.
That's what I thought. Like, when I was a kid, you know, like, they're releasing stuff like this. I'm trying to think of an example. Like, what are those things where you... There was, like, goggles you put on, and you could put different filters into the goggle to look at pictures?
Yeah. I don't remember what those are called, but, you know, it was the red thing that you looked like... They're like binoculars, but...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. What the heck? I was just talking about them yesterday.
Kaleidoscope.
Yeah.
What's it called? What's it called?
Is it a kaleidoscope? No, kaleidoscope is the thing.
It's a viewer of something where you press the thing and then the little card that you put in the top.
This was the thing of the 90s, was this thing. And you got to see, like...
I want to look it up. I got to find it.
Do you guys remember the Etch-a-Sketch?
Oh, yeah.
Etch-a-Sketch, Light-Brite. Light-Brite was video games before video games.
Yeah. Light-Brite was I played that when Mom took my 64 away and I couldn't play video games anymore. I played Light-Brite.
Oh, dude, Light Bright was awesome. When I was a kid, I played some mad Light Bright.
Yep.
You know, Labo...
I would still play Light Bright. If I had Light Bright today, I would play the heck out of it.
Cole, you need a life. You've got a wife, man.
She would play Light Bright with me.
Oh, God. She probably would,
Light Bright
too.
Together.
Shout out to Hannah. you know, Labo with the connectivity and, like, putting pieces together kind of reminds me of Kinect. Or the Kinect, or what was it? You know, similar to Lego, but it was like the...
Yeah, Kinect.
Yeah, it was Kinect.
But it was spelled...
Different, Kinect. I just can't remember how to spell it. But I remember, like, building, like, Ferris wheels and...
so what type of games are we looking at that are going to be available? Are they just, like, built-in cardboard games? Or, what is it?
Built-in cardboard.
Yeah, it's there's a couple of different ones. So I guess there's a robot game of some sort. There's a fishing game. Like, the more than AAA price tag comes with a game, but you have to build the cardboard thing to go with it. I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to make the child and parent work together on a little project. but it's like once it's done, and then you have this like game that's kind of not worth $80. And the cardboard now is like this enormous thing, and it's got to take up more space in your house. I don't know. It just, they could have went about it in a better way. But mind you, the reviews I'm reading are actually quite positive for Nintendo Labo, shockingly.
I thought it was always cooler about like the Lego games. I thought that when you play those Lego games, you could actually buy. It's, I don't know what it was. It's like a little, it looked like a little transport platform or whatever. And you could build a Lego thing and put it on this thing and it would scan it into your game. So you could actually build Lego characters or Lego anything, put it on this little thing and it would scan right into the game. I thought that was like the coolest thing.
What game was that for?
It was for PlayStation.
Was that a Creative Studio? Lego Creative Studio?
I don't know if it was a Creative Studio. Yeah, okay, it wasn't. They gave you missions and stuff, but you could literally build Lego whatever you wanted with these Lego sets, and it would scan into your game. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Just looking back on this this Nintendo Lab thing, like I'm on their website right now, and I'm looking up people like building it. I feel like if this were to rip or to break or something, you know, or like get wet, and is that it? Then it's just like done. Then you'd have to buy another one.
Yeah, with my luck, my cat would sleep on it and then pee on it and leave, and then that's it for Nintendo Labo. Yeah, $80 down the drain.
I feel like it's very, especially for the price, you know, it's very fragile.
Yeah, and same thing again. I'm going on their website too, and it literally just says exactly what I said about the space. People with maybe smaller houses that don't have a lot of space. Like, where do you put your robot suit? You know, you don't have any closet space.
You don't have a robot suit holder, Rodney?
No, that's on my list. Man. I'm purchasing that next after my PS4.
Get in the now.
Hey, Rodney, now that you've given your piano to your brother, I think it's you can replace it with that cardboard piano.
I would, except it's. I actually didn't give it to my brother. It's in my closet. The movers broke the. Oh, I guess that's us. Broke the the leg for it, so that it doesn't have a stand right now. No comment. Fun story about my life. I moved like last month, and we hired movers, and they didn't show up. And then they were like 3.5 hours late, and I called the guy, and I was like, "F you! I'm not giving you any of my money." And he's like, "Well, nice. Do you not want our services?" I'm like, "No." F you. I just like lost it. I just ripped him a new asshole. And
you don't want their services.
Yeah.
No.
So I took like 12 trips in my fiance's dad's truck, and we moved our whole house over to the house. It was good stuff.
Nice.
Moving on though, I kind of want to end this podcast on, because we've all talked about it, is the Xbox One X and its graphical capabilities. Now, there's tons of new games that have already previously been announced, and I'm sure Microsoft is going to throw us some curveballs this year as well. And there's rumors now that Microsoft is actually going to be starting releasing Xbox One X exclusive titles. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I feel that it's about time Microsoft threw you guys something. So... Do we have any titles for these Xbox One X exclusives?
Not yet. It's more of just rumor, but it has been, you know, they talked about it when the Xbox One X was first announced that they would, I guess in the future, just focus on X titles, but they don't want to do what they, I guess, other consoles have done, is kind of just throw the original Xbox One under the bus.
Well, I guess that leaves my idea out, because I was saying, what better way to make a big splash with boom, just Halo, let's go.
Oh my god, you're right, they're gonna make Halo 6 Xbox One X exclusive, and I'm gonna have to friggin' buy one. God damn
well,
Microsoft.
But by the time you buy it, you know, Halo 6 is gonna come out, you're gonna buy an Xbox One, and then the next one's gonna come out, and then you're gonna wait with your Xbox 6 until they release Halo 7 for the Xbox Triple X, and then you're gonna have to buy one of those.
Cool, it's a vicious cycle, my friend. But we gotta play by the rules.
That's what I said. I didn't want to play by the rules, but that's the point that I was getting at. Is like, they're the ones in control. Like, what do you do if you want to change it? You know, like they got you in the armbar. So
they definitely have us in the armbar. I know that this is where my frustration comes too. Like, we need to band up together and say no.
Yeah, but that's the same with the phones, and the same with the What was something that everybody like? We wanted to change it, but everybody was buying it. I'll remember what it is. I won't dwell on it for too long. If I remember it, I'll bring it up.
Probably something to do with Apple. God, I hate Apple. I hate Apple with a passion. Because it's just like...
I hate Apple too.
Oh, they just advertise elite products and an elite lifestyle, and then in like a year, it's just like garbage. And they're like, oh, you need a new one now. You need to give us another $1,000. Like,
well,
oh.
Going again in the, like, Apple apparently does really, really bad in Europe and Asia. It's only does well in North America, you know, because in Asia, everybody uses Samsung and Googles. And I mean, I guess Europe would be more North American influenced, but nobody has Apple products there. Like, I don't get why it does so well in North America. Just simple folks getting their apples.
Yeah. And I mean,
you just lost a bunch of listeners, or you lost me.
Yeah.
As a spokesperson.
I bought an Apple. And you can't play any games on Apple. That's why we don't really want to talk about Apple. But my Sea of Thieves just finished downloading on my computer. I'm so excited to get away from the Xbox One X and go to my PC. Anyways, I bought an iMac for my studio like 5 years ago. And it's just like I spent like $2,500 on the computer. And then they're like, oh yeah, you also have to buy the mouse. And you also have to buy a CD drive. And you also like I had to buy all this extra stuff on a computer I already spent $2,500 on. It was just a complete... like utter ripoff.
And the pack, all the USB plugins are all in the back. I always hated that. I mean, like if I wanted to plug something in the front, you know, you have to like crawl around to the back, or you can't have your computer or TV like right up against something. So
the fact
they try to make it look fancy, like I don't care if it looks ugly as long as it works.
The fact good, that they don't know? Include a mouse and a keyboard, there's no words. That's just garbage.
And apparently, because I told people this story before, and they're like, oh, no, it always comes with a mouse and keyboard. I'm like, well, mine did not. Mine did not come with a mouse and keyboard. I had to freaking buy it. It was ridiculous.
But, Ronnie, it always comes with a mouse and keyboard.
Mine did not come with a mouse and keyboard.
But no, but, Ronnie, it always comes with a mouse and keyboard.
Stop talking, Cole.
All right, I'm sorry.
With the Apple computers, though, I've also, when I was in high school, the high school we used... were allowing computers, and they actually gave us Apple laptops. And even at home, I had an older iMac. I can't remember before they went to this flat screen stuff. I remember having this big computer. But the problem I've always had with Apple computers is the CD drive. I have lost countless CDs and other software that was never retrievable.
All right, so I thought we were going to end on a good note, but we're smashing Apple now.
That is a good note.
That is a good note, yeah. I'm assuming if you're listening to this podcast, a lot of people do have an iPhone, mind you, but that's probably their eighth one of their whole life. But yeah, anyways, we should probably wrap this up. A Way Out, play it. It's pretty good. It's worth the $40, the $40 price tag. And Nintendo Labo. Can't really say I'd spend $80 on it, but I don't know.
Totally worth it. Everybody go out and buy a Nintendo Labo right now.
All right. Will, what do you got to say about all this?
Labo should just disappear from the face of the world.
Oh, my goodness. Will is on a secret covert mission.
A Way Out, go play it. Please, Sony, do not release systems like cell phones.
All right, thanks for listening to the Video Games Now podcast. Let us know your thoughts and on our Facebook page, our Instagram page, all the pages that we have on all the social media sites. Check out our website as well, videogamesnow.ca or videogamesnow as it looks like because there's no capitals. We got a couple new shirts in development right now, so those are going to be released on the store very soon. And check out our top 10 video that got released on Monday, top 10 worst video game movies of all time, and let us know what your thoughts on that are. And if you guys have any suggestions for our show, any episodes you may want to hear and stuff like that, let us know. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. We'll see you all on the next one. Bye-bye.
Later, guys.
Later. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.